When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed 3 and 3.5 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I, don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that the only one boat that had been there, and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but that they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Bless you. Thank you, Claire. If you haven't closed your Bibles, then you should still be on page 1070, but you might find it helpful to have it open. Over the last few weeks, you'll know that we've been looking at these passages from John, and we'll have seen a number of miracles that Jesus performed during his work. But it struck me that what we are actually seeing, whether we choose to believe it or not, are God sightings. So I'd like you to think about those words, God sightings. The picture in this passage is actually about Jesus' rescue. He's rescuing us. Just as God rescued the Israelites from Pharaoh when they crossed the Red Sea. And there are times, aren't there, when all of us need to be rescued. And when this happens, Jesus reaches out to each one of us. And all we need to do in response is to take his hand. But this passage is more than that. This is about tests of faith. And perhaps as important, or maybe most important, this passage, like those passages that we've had over the past weeks, is on display for us God's glory. And that should make us think about the moments when we might just have let God's glory pass us by. Last week, if you'd been here in Messy Church, then you'd have been part of that miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And following that miracle, those two verses just ahead of this passage tell us that Jesus took himself off into the hills because he knew that following that miracle that the crowd had been privileged to see and part of, that they were ready to force him and make him be king. And so he had gone to the hills, as he so often did, to pray. Throughout his ministry, Jesus recognized the importance of an intimacy with God, especially when he was most tempted to abandon the mission that God had given him. Even Jesus needed rescuing sometimes. And through this, he's showing us the significance, the importance of an intimate relationship with God. And what better way is there than through prayer? Prayer is where we can speak to God about our innermost thoughts and where we are most likely to see things happen following such conversations. Yes, God does already know everything about us and everything that's troubling us. But he also likes to hear from us, even if it's only occasionally. And it's where we can most expect to hear him speaking to us. And while Jesus prayed, he had already sent his disciples away in a boat to go across to Capernaum. This wasn't a long trip, but the disciples would have wanted to cover the short distance between Bethsaida and Capernaum before sunset. If you've ever been to the Sea of Galilee, and I am fortunate to have been there, then you'll know what it's like. So I'll explain. It's 600 feet below sea level, and it forms a cup. It's extraordinary, actually. And that depression sits amongst hills all the way around. And at night, the air cools quite significantly, and the waves on that lake are really very choppy. And remember that this was in a time of darkness, and darkness in the Bible is a symbol of evil or ignorance or trouble or sorrow. And indeed, the Bible often speaks about the powers of darkness. And in an age before electric light, no wonder. Darkness was palpable. So it's no surprise that from the very beginning, this account of Jesus walking on the water and bringing deliverance to his disciples in a storm at night was taken by Christians as a lesson in the Lord's presence with his people and deliverance of his people from the trials of life. I've no doubt at all that in their minds, that trip of their ancestors in Exodus from Israel, as God rescued his people from Egypt across those parted Red Sea waters, would have been one such occasion that came to mind. We are told in this passage that the disciples were terrified. I guess so. Try turning off the television and staying in the dark and the quiet. I bet it won't take you too long before you turn on the lights. I think, therefore, we can imagine how the disciples must have felt. Their lives were not in danger, but they had been blown off course and were probably frustrated, tired, and irritable. Then they have a vision of seeing someone walking on water. Sleep deprivation, frustration, and somebody walking on water. I think I'd have been terrified myself. The story continues with those words that Jesus says, "It is I. Don't be afraid." In the original translation, the words are just, "I am." This could have simply been what it sounds like in English, of course. But "I am" is also God's name. Here, Jesus could have been revealing his identity as God to the disciples, for as soon as he enters the boat, the storm ends. And whether by miracle or simply because the storm was over, they soon arrived at their destination. So that's our story. But what is the point of that story for us? On one level, it explains how Jesus arrived without a boat. At the most basic level, it's a description of how Jesus got from point A to point B. That's the most logical explanation. But it also tells us something about who Jesus is. He is God. And he's showing us that he's God over nature. He has an awesome power. And this is a demonstration of how he can save. And that is the point that he's making. He's really trying to demonstrate that he is with us every step of the way, no matter what our circumstances are. And that's all through our lives. It also brings to mind some Old Testament passages that talk about God and his awesome powers. Job wrote these words, "He alone has spread out the heavens and marches on the waves of the sea." And in Psalm 107, these words are written, "He spoke and the winds rose, stirring up the waves. Their ships were tossed to the heavens and sank again in the depths. The sailors cringed in terror. They reeled and staggered like drunkards and were at their wits' end. Lord, they cried, help! They cried in their troubles, and he saved them from their distress. He calmed the storm to a whisper and stilled the waves. What a blessing was that stillness as he brought them safely back to harbour." This made me ask myself a question. When has God's glory passed before us? Or when have we been like those disciples who, you remember, had not many hours previously been witness to an incredible miracle yet again of Jesus feeding the 5,000 with just two fish and five loaves? Therefore, are we like those disciples? Have we failed to see the significance of God's work in our lives? Have we missed God's glory? Has it all just gone over our heads? In fact, we may even think that God doesn't act in this way anymore. We may believe that God showed his glory to the disciples, but I wonder, do we think of ourselves thinking about God and what he does today? Do we ever miss those God sightings? Do you ever pray? I guess you do. Do you ever pray and what you prayed comes true? Have you ever found yourself saying, "That's a coincidence. I've just been praying about that." God answers prayer. And that's how God shows us, or that's one of the ways that God shows us his glory. But I think sometimes all of us miss it. We don't recognize his work in response to our prayers. Sometimes we see his nature reflected in creation. Have you ever stood at the top of the cliffs on a dark and clear but starry night? Have you ever looked up at the sky and wondered at all those constellations? Maybe you've been lucky and seen the northern lights. We've all of us, I suspect, had our breath taken away by God's creation. Paul wrote in Romans these words, "From the time the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky and all that God made. They can clearly see his visible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature." But God's glory sometimes passes us by, and we miss it. When we read in the Bible that God showed his glory, It's almost always a scary experience. Today is one such experience. God sometimes opens our eyes to his glory as we worship him, in private or with others. But again, we sometimes miss it. I said earlier that God sometimes shows us his glory when he answers prayer. Sometimes he shows us his glory when he doesn't answer prayer. When the doctor says the C word. And we have a peace that passes understanding. We remember that, June, don't we? God has shown us his glory in just that one moment. When we stand in a funeral home, visiting with others, having lost someone either close to us or just a friend, but still someone important, we're filled with an overwhelming grief and yet an inexplicable strength. That is God, and he's just shown us his glory. Every one of us has seen God's glory in one form or another, but we've also sometimes missed it, just like those disciples. And even if we've missed his glory in life, it's on display in the Bible. John wrote in chapter 1 of this gospel, "We have seen his glory, the glory of the only Son of the Father. We have seen his glory. God has revealed himself to us in Jesus Christ." You can't help but read about Jesus without seeing God's glory, his unfailing love, his faithfulness to us. We've seen his glory, and sometimes we've missed it. So let me ask you this. When has God's glory passed you by? When have you seen God at work in your life? When have you sensed his presence, his glory, like never before? There may be some of us here this morning who are not a follower of Jesus Christ, but he's been active in your life. You have seen his glory, even if you've missed it. Think about the times that God has been at work in your life. Think about how you responded. I know I've been like those disciples. There are times when God's glory has passed me by. I haven't recognized it until later. I haven't stopped to acknowledge him and praise him. It's time to go back over the times that Jesus has passed us by and praise him for how he's been at work in our lives. What then is the message for us from this text? What else but this? When you find yourself in that storm, the wind blowing against you, oars laboring heavily, keep on rowing. Pull a little longer, that's all. However weary your arms are, our Lord is standing on that hillside and he's interceding for you. If he wanted you to have calm seas, you would have them. But he won't let you sink. He'll come across the water at precisely the right time. And when you see him walking on the water, coming towards you, coming to help you, you'll think that all that rowing was a small price to pay. Believing and remembering, that is a very large part of being Christ's disciple, his faithful disciple. Keep looking to Jesus across the tops of the waves, and before long, you will see him walking towards you, just as hundreds and thousands of other Christians have before you. Amen. Father, we thank you for all the times we have seen your glory. Help us always to be looking out for those times and to remember to pray and to praise you for working in our lives to your glory. Thank you that you gave us Jesus, who walks by our side, giving comfort, guidance, and assurance in those moments of doubt. Thank you for always loving us and for the opportunity of sharing your love with others.